Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is now the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race. Right now on the site, a Carol Markowitz piece about Republican hopeful John Huntsman, who crossed party lines to be President Obama's China ambassador. Huntsman announces his candidacy here in New York this week. 2012 is starting now at itsafreecountry.org. You might know our next guest as the feminist lesbian Canadian Muslim who is working for reform in her religion. Her first book, The Trouble with Islam Today, was a reaction to the September 11th attacks, among other things, and a call for a Muslim version of the Enlightenment. In her new book, Allah, Liberty, and Love, Irshad Manji, director now of the Moral Courage Project at NYU, posits that far from being regressive, religious faith should take us to freedom. Irshad, always good to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, thank you for having me.
So first, how do you get to be a professor of moral courage? What does the Moral Courage Project do?
Right. The Moral Courage Project teaches not just young people, but because we take our activities off campus as well, teaches all people to speak truth to power within their own communities for the sake of a greater good. And that sounds very lofty, and often it is lofty. After all, the moral courage as a phrase was popularized by Senator Robert F. Kennedy three generations ago. But at the end of the day, Brian, moral courage is really about learning to speak up when everyone else wants to shut you up. And when you live in a relatively free, relatively open society, as you and I do, it's so important to remember that we are not powerless. We have the privilege of voice, and we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our liberties, and are we doing it with love?
And you do it. You use your voice in this book, in part, to write about the concept of ijtihad, which I will let you explain. You think it's very important, a very important Islamic concept that Muslims should get back in touch with, right?
Well, and I think, frankly, it's a universal concept. Now, ijtihad, which, of course, sounds perilously like jihad to many non-Arab ears, is not jihad. Jihad simply means to struggle. Of course, it's extremists who have exploited that word to turn it into violent struggle. But ijtihad is all about struggling with the mind in order to comprehend the wider world. And this is an ancient Islamic tradition of interpreting, reinterpreting, debate, dissent. We had it, Brian, for, you know, 1,000 years in our religion. For purely political reasons, it has gone lost. But one of my big arguments in Allah, Liberty, and Love is that both Muslims and non-Muslims now in parts of the West where we have the liberties to express ourselves, we are perfectly poised to rediscover that tradition, as I say, for greater good.
So I want to open the phones for Muslim listeners to have this conversation with Irshad Manji. Little bit of it anyway. Are you familiar with the concept of ijtihad? And does Irshad Manji speak for you? What do you make in general of her calls for a reform movement in Islam, for more room for individual conscience and other things that she has been and will be talking about? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment on our show page. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. If ijtihad used to be a value in Islam and the religion once respected argument and courted innovation in ways that you say doesn't anymore, what happened?
Well, let me be very clear, Brian, that it's not the religion that doesn't anymore respect individual conscience and creative thinking. After all, religion is a construct. It is what its practitioners do in its name that defines the religion. And so I just want to be very clear, because I know that you've asked Muslims to call in, that I am not saying Islam is the problem. I am saying that we Muslims are part of the problem. And the beauty of, you know, sort of making that distinction is that it also means that we Muslims can be part of the solution. So what's happened is that, you know, over the last 1,000 years, through, again, all kinds of politics that involve grievances about European colonialism, about the Jewish state of Israel. Muslims have begun to define identity in very, very narrow terms, so that anybody who strays from, you know, political edicts has become known as impure, inauthentic, and worse, kufr. And I go into that word, K-U-F-R, kufr, in my book, because that's something I'm often called, which means it's a combination of ingrate and heretic. But when you put that combination together, it opens you up to serious violence from people in the Muslim community. And so one of the things that young reformist Muslims now need to do is reclaim, you know, what it means to be a person of faith within Islam, and recognize that, you know, when you are actually exploring faith, as opposed to merely adhering to what you are taught, when you have the courage to rediscover new truths within faith, it's because of your gratitude to God that you are doing this, not because of a repudiation of God. So that we can actually redefine kufr to mean, you know, those who love their faith enough to have higher expectations of themselves and to get closer to God in the process.
That's interesting. You know, I think, I mean, you and I have been having this conversation for, what, 15 years? And yet, or at least since your first book came out, but I think people from a lot of religious traditions who may not know you might wonder why you still call yourself Muslim. We've also had Ayan Hirsi Ali on the show a number of times, who says a number of the same things that you do in her way. But she's walked away from the religion and said that this is, you know, it's just a lost cause. She's going to find her meaning elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So why do you think, what does it mean to you to be Muslim if you disagree with much of the traditional teaching, at least as it's being practiced by human beings? And why do you think that that it's worth salvaging and trying to reform?
Well, precisely because I do love tradition. And, you know, going back to moments ago, our conversation about one of the great traditions within Islam, ijtihad, this is one of the things that keeps me Muslim. I don't feel any need to walk away from it, Brian. And if I did, well, that would only be helping sort of preserve what I think is a noxious status quo. Why should, you know, the field be left increasingly to right-wing conservatives within my faith? Indeed, Christians and Jews and many others can be asking the same of their religions, and they should. But the point is that Islam is not immune to these trends. And what I find, frankly, heartbreaking a lot of the time is that, you know, good people who call themselves progressives and liberals choose to ally with the very right wing within my faith as if somehow that is an expression of diversity. They're only too willing to, you know, castigate the right wing in other religions, but not so much in mine. So I think part of my role, you know, in this journey and in this mission is to really sort of cut through the moral and mental fuzziness that so many of us have adopted in the name of multiculturalism and call it what it is. This is part of what it means to have faith, is I have, you know, higher expectations, not just of a loving God, but also of my fellow human beings.
Is there a good multiculturalism? This, and I hear what you're saying about the knee-jerk respect for multiculturalism. What you see is oversensitivity to cultural imperatives that excuses the actions of the right wing of Islam among the same people who wouldn't excuse some of the same tenets on the right wing of other religions. Is there, in your opinion, ever a good multiculturalism? Should we respect difference, you know, no matter what society we're in what way?
The very word multiculturalism worries me because, of course, it does emphasize culture. And culture, when you really think about it, is the way things are done. And that is an inherently conservative concept. And so we don't need, you know, liberals and progressives to be reinforcing the way things are done. In other words, there's an inherent contradiction, I think, between being an open-minded, you know, broad-hearted liberal and reinforcing groupthink that is so much the outcome of multiculturalism.
The tension, I guess, in liberal thought would be between that and the notion of universal values, which on the one hand makes the liberal heart go pitter-pat to say there is such a thing as as a universal set of human rights. On the other hand, it sounds authoritarian and like imposing, you know, let's say Western values on everybody else.
Well, I think the key, Brian, to breaking this impasse is to recognize that each of us, no matter what identity group any of us belongs to, and I frankly, you know, cringe at the thought of being introduced by you or anybody else as that Canadian, Muslim, lesbian, feminist. I mean, so many labels. But the fact is, I'm an individual first and foremost, and so are you, no matter what your skin color, no matter what your gender or sexual orientation. If we were willing to look at each other, all of us at each other, first and foremost as individuals, then we'd see that, in fact, as in individuals, we are all entitled to a basic set of dignities, and that includes freedom of thought, which means that we don't have to have so-called community leaders speaking on our behalf, especially when they wind up abusing power in the name of that leadership, which so many leaders in various identity communities do. So I think emphasizing individuality as opposed to individualism is key. Individualism states, I'm out for myself and I don't care if my society benefits. That is corrosive to community. But individuality states, I am my unique self and I benefit my community when I express that uniqueness because I show that there's more than one way to belong to my community and I also show that there's more than one way to define community.
Irshad Manji, director of the Moral Courage Project at NYU. Author now of Allah, Liberty, and Love. Muslims call in and join in on this conversation. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Ali in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
I saw you on Bill Maher's show, and I really appreciate your commentary. The comment that I wanted to make and also a question, if I do have time, is to say that as far as religion of Islam, I think anyone who knows even a little bit about it can see the beauty in it and also see the truth. I just think that, you know, the point you made about the religion not being the problem, but the way it's being practiced by the people as being the problem. And I think rather than, you know, Muslims all too often, we look at what other people are doing and we try to match that up to what's in the Sunnah, what's in the Quran, and say, oh, so-and-so is not doing this, so-and-so is not doing that. And we focused on our own individual faith. I believe the world will be a better place. And then my question is just that how do we really rectify, you know, being Muslims in this country with some of the aspects of American, you know, foreign policy and the negativity, specifically in the Republican Party, that's overshadowing, I think, overall, which is, right, you know, peace for people.
Well, thanks. I think that's a different conversation that we are having, with all due respect. Irshad, do you want to respond to him very briefly?
Ali, if you read my previous book, you will see that the argument that I'm making there is that, in fact, if we Muslims know our history, and we should, we'll know that far before European colonialism took off, and even before the Jewish state of Israel was born, we Muslims have been imposing upon each other martial law. We've been bludgeoning one another's freedom. So even as we point fingers at the outside world, let us at least have the integrity to point one finger at ourselves and take seriously that beautiful passage in the Quran, which states God does not change the condition of a people until they change what is inside themselves. Ali, let us Muslims be the leaders in showing the truth of that passage so that non-Muslim Americans can look at us and see us as role models for changing themselves as well.
Majid in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I'm a recent convert, and I'd like to state that you're overgeneralizing. I mean, you have Jews that are Nitzarei Karta, that are against Israel. They have conservative, you have liberal, you have orthodox, you have Lubavitch. You know, in the Muslim religion, it spans cultures, it spans nations, it spans so many varieties of people and levels of commitment. You have Muslims that identify as Muslims and eat pig in McDonald's. You have Muslims that don't pray at all, who interpret the Quran and their religion in their own way. So I don't know where she comes from making these broad generalizations about Muslims and what they believe. Because you have, for example, in Africa, circumcision of females. That's not in the Muslim religion. That has nothing to do with the Muslim religion. It's a cultural thing. You know, all around...
Majid, I'm going to leave it there just because our time is getting very short. But what about his main point about you overgeneralizing?
I mean, you can say that that to me, but, you know, tell that to the thousands of young Muslims from whom I've heard around the world who have said, you know, thank you for finally putting into words what I've only been thinking. Now, Irshad, show us how to get beyond the fear of expressing ourselves. The point is that there is a thread of fear that connects young Muslims around the world who want to be able to reconcile faith and freedom. But for some reasons, and reasons that I do attribute to culture, not to religion, and that I explain in Allah, Liberty, and Love, those reasons are still stifling them from taking the leap into reconciling their faith and their love of freedom. So speak to that fear is what I would say to the caller. And let's, you know, talk about what it is that's going on within the name of Islam that may not be inherent to Islam, but is being practiced in the name of Islam that stops good people from realizing their God-given potential.
Saeed in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saeed. We have about 30 seconds.
Hi, how are you? Basically, the problem is not that Islam is not a problem. The problem is certain groups want to use these Muslims and brainwash these young people to use any kind of wrong thing. But Islam always preaches for the kindness and humanity. Those people who are brainwashed, they use any kind of name like Taliban or whatever you call them. But and look, who is the real founder of these groups? They are the ones who are culprits. Any religion in the world, none of them teaches any kind of bad thing.
Saeed, thank you very much. One minute, Irshad. You've written that you see the Arab Spring as proof that you're not alone in seeking a new Islam. And yet a lot of Americans are afraid that the Arab Spring is going to lead to, you know, replacing secular authoritarian governments with religious ones.
Well, and we know from the American Revolution itself that democracy is a process, not an outcome. So it may very well lead to, you know, a more of an authoritarian grip on the practice of religion as well as politics. But this is a huge step forward in breaking the wall of fear. And whether or not it happens in my lifetime, Brian, I can't tell. But what I do know is that, and it comes back to the main point of Allah, Liberty, and Love, is that young secular Democrats in the Middle East and North Africa have laid their lives on the line and continue to do so and have shown moral courage, the willingness to speak truth to power within their community for a greater good. All communities everywhere in the world, Muslim and not, can learn from that of bravery.
And
that's why this book is for everyone, not just for Muslims.
Irshad Manji, director of the Moral Courage Project at NYU, now the author of Allah, Liberty, and Love. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.